Nedra Garrett is the Decision Systems and Science Team Lead in the Division of Knowledge Management Services at CDC. She's responsible for overseeing decision support activities within this division and exploring opportunities for decision support in public health, both internal and external to CDC. She's worked at CDC for 8 years, initially completing the Public Health Informatics Fellowship and later working in the Public Health Practice Program Office, where she served as team lead for informatics and knowledge systems. Her work has been concentrated in knowledge management, in leading projects aimed at developing methods and techniques for capturing, forming, and disseminating knowledge. Prior to coming to CDC, she worked as a systems manager for 7 years within the Department of Defense, where she gained design, development, and management experience with clinical and administrative health information systems in both inpatient and ambulatory care settings. You have the bios for all of our speakers in your information. And so I'm going to now introduce Nedra. And thank you. I am excited to be here. I have to say, I think that was an old bio.
Okay.
Yes. I think it was maybe one from my old APHA presentation some time ago, as in a couple years ago. But I am actually the director of Division of Informatics Practice, Policy, and Coordination, which is a division within the Surveillance and Informatics Program Office at CDC. I have actually, I see that they're all gone, but I did have some folders in the back that gives you a sense of the portfolio of activities within the Surveillance and Informatics Program Office at CDC, just to give you a sense of some of the various projects and systems and activities that we have. And if you want more information on that, you can certainly reach out to me or those contacts that's provided on those handouts. And so today I want to talk a little bit about some informatics activities at the federal level, and you'll get a sense of, you know, the various levels as we present today, but particularly at the federal level, some of the things that we have been focused on. One of the key areas that we address is public health information exchange, which is really helping to improve the accessibility of information, the timeliness of information, the quality, and so forth. And you know, not for you know, not just at the federal level, but really helping to enable states to exchange information with CDC, among each other, and also at the local level, as you'll see in some of the activities that we have around meaningful use and so forth. We have, with certainly the landscape changing around the clinical community and some of the national efforts around meaningful use and so forth, there's a tremendous focus right now on information exchange between public health and the clinical community. And part of what we do is try to help make your jobs a little bit easier. And I, you know, it's always been in the past where you, we've heard many complaints about multiple systems on desktops with, you know, funding coming from one program, another program. Why is it CDC don't, you know, work to get these things together so we can deal with one system and things like that? One of the efforts that we are working on is try to harmonize the language that's in our cooperative agreements and contracts so that it does speak to adhering to a certain set of standards that helps to make a little more, you know, helps to harmonize not only the language, but it will help the systems to work together a lot better to be more interoperable. So that is an initial step that we're working on. So there's some consistency across those cooperative agreements and contracts that some of you may be funding some of your informatics activities out of. We have a huge advocacy role in working with our partners at ONC, trying to make sure we understand what the needs of the state and locals are, trying to work with our partner organizations like NACHO and ASTO and APHL and others to help us to understand what are those issues that we need to be advocating for to ONC, to CMS. A lot of that, again, has been around meaningful use. And then to look at what are some of the services that we need to be developing and helping with facilitating public health information exchange in terms of the data, the messaging, the messages, the standards, and all of that around not just what you've been typically responsible for, like national tropical disease surveillance, but also emergency preparedness. I'm sure some of you get money through FEP, through the Public Health Emergency Preparedness Program, to implement a lot of your activities. And we've been working to bring a lot of the all the activities that I have listed here, meaningful use, national tropical diseases, emergency preparedness, but to try to bring those together so that they're not seen as separate programs, but they're more conciliatory. And again, as I spoke about, understanding the needs and impact on states. One of our key initiatives is a Public Health Information Network program, and this is a corollary to the Nationwide Health Information Network. How many of you are familiar with FHIN? A few in the room? So we've gone through an effort to revamp that program and to really, revision it for and align it with things that are happening at the national level. But FHIN really is about a set of standard services, practices, and policy that helps to facilitate information exchange and being able to align that with other efforts. And this program has been in place for about 10 years, and so we are at a point now where it's really important to look at it and see how, make sure that it aligns with where things are going. But the idea is to improve the capacity of public health to exchange information electronically and to serve as a steward of millions of dollars related to preparedness, as I spoke about. FHIN at 10, early 2000, there's a lot of work around developing software for NAS, for BioSense, for Laboratory Response Network. Prior to that, a lot of work was done on paper. Went on through the mid-2000s where we were more focused on some of the communities of practice, bringing people together. There's a lot of exploration around open source tools and being able to share information and things that we're learning as new systems and things that were being rolled out. And then in most recent years, there's been a whole sea of change around public health and meaningful use. A lot of advocacy and promotion for population health outcomes and healthcare transformation. And then as we look towards the future, obviously there's a need to take advantage of some of the emerging technologies, some of the mobile technologies, being able to, I really believe now we're in an era of a lot of data, aggregating data. How can we begin to take the massive amount of data that is coming into public health and being able to do appropriate analysis and aggregation and being able to inform interventions and policies and so forth. Meaningful use. I'm sure a lot of you have heard about meaningful use. Meaningful use is one of the provisions of high tech that is using certified electronic health record technology, electronic health records and associated technologies to improve the quality and safety of care, to engage patients and family more, to improve care coordination, transitioning of care, and also the whole effort around privacy and security. There are a few provisions in there for public health in stage one that states are preparing for data from electronic health record systems, around electronic reporting of laboratory results, around syndromic surveillance and immunizations. But one of the things that this rule has really brought out and a lot of attention to is how ready are states to be able to receive the data that has been provisioned in meaningful use. I mean, how ready are states to receive that? And that has been rather scattered across those three public health objectives. And the ONC part of that has called for certain standards that have to be in place in order for providers to meet that particular criteria to get their incentives. And so we've been working a lot with states to find out, how can we assist? Are there tools that we can help provide to support the exchange of that information, And then, you know, where there are real issues, we, you know, we advocate for that to CMS and ONC. We work very closely with them on that. And again, like on the last bullet, meaningful use brings into play the development of standardized data elements and these messaging guides. So that gets to being able to receive data in a uniform way consistently across public health that will help facilitate sharing of that information across across health agencies, across states, across systems. But the standards are a critical part of that. In stage two of meaningful use, the comments have gone in. They're being looked at now, but there are two new public health objectives that were included in that. One around the transmission of cancer or case information, and the other around transmission of data to specialized registries like diabetes registries. That one is coming under a lot of scrutiny of late, but we'll see what finally ends up in the rule. And in that, eligible providers must meet the immunization objectives in three of the five public health objectives, and eligible hospitals must meet immunization, syndromic surveillance, and ELR objectives. And the first stage is really focused on data capturing, whereas as we move towards stage two and three, stage two is about advancing clinical processes, and stage three is more focused on outcomes. Timeline here, primarily just as a reference, this started back in 2010. Right now we're at stage two, looking for that to be implemented around the winter of 2012. And then finally the last year, we see where in 2016, it's really, really big impact there because there will, 2015 rather, there's going to start being adjustments made to Medicare if providers are not using electronic health records in what is called a meaningful way. Public health involvement, again, I've spoken about this a little bit. We help to frame a lot of those comments that we've heard from our partners up to ONC, at least to help further validate that. There are a couple of initiatives that we're participating in, the public health reporting initiatives out of the standards and interoperability framework. How many of you have heard of the public health reporting initiative out of ONC? Are any of you participating in that work? This one has been a hard one because we've been really pushing to try to get participation in that, but it's one of those, it's one of those things where we are, standards is a really hard area, but it's one of those things where we're trying to get some of the key public health areas positioned to be included in stage three. Right now, they're focusing on five domains, one around adverse events, childhood, child health, chronic disease, communicable disease, and then there's another one on infrastructure. But this has really been kind of a tough sale for us here. But it is, in fact, an important effort. And we are looking at some of the gaps in readiness, as I mentioned, how public health can help identify and evaluate against metrics to assess the capabilities around those different objectives, looking at the state's readiness. If the state is not ready, when will those systems be ready? How can CDC help? We have a TA team that's been put in place to help states get ready to try to address issues that vendors and even health care organizations are having with connecting with public health. So we've got a team in place to do that. We assist with some of the onboarding activities. Some of the challenges that we face here, there are a number of barriers. There's variation in the different standards that are being used, variations in the reportable requirements between the federal and state level programs. There's a cost. That's always a big issue because public health did not benefit as the healthcare community did for implementing meaningful use because most of that money went directly to providers and little to public health, but yet public health had to be positioned to accept the data and sometimes having to, you know, modify systems and so forth to be able to receive that data. So there's a tremendous cost there. There's a whole issue around personnel, expertise. This is where the whole workforce development is a major gap, being able to have people who understand not only the business of public health, but the technology and how to bring those things together. And that's a huge gap for us right now. Getting public health engaged and at the table of some of these initiatives. Funding, obviously, is a big one. And trying to basically learn what works. What is it? Who's doing this well? How can we get the successes out to the community at large? How can we learn of those challenges and leverage the work of others? Those are real challenges for us that we're trying to work through. And so some of the opportunities for public health information exchange and electronic health record, obviously, as I've talked about, public health reporting. We have some clinical decision support activities that we're engaged in at CDC. We have, we're working on trying to identify with our programs, the CDC program, are there particular demographic data that may be available? You know, how is the whole capturing of the smoking status affecting or can be provisioned? We have an electronic health record alerting project that we're working with Chicago and GE on, basically pushing alerts to providers at the point of care on various public health outbreaks, you know, like a salmonella outbreak, being able to identify that there is something happening in the region. Patient comes in, matches the condition for the symptoms for that particular condition, and those alerts are made available to the provider. We have some work around that, community health record work around aggregating community level data and health data together into develop some performance indicators for communities. We've got some pilot work around that, and the state HIE programs are also another large federal effort that's being managed out of ONC. And so here we, you know, the whole focus is around health information exchange, not as much about the proper noun HIEs, but more about the verb of, you know, health information exchange. And so there's a lot of money that's been put out towards that. There's some examples here of where HIEs in the proper name sense are being leveraged for public health in New York, Ohio, and Massachusetts. And the ONC S&I work, which I referenced just a little bit, if you all were familiar with the Public Health Reporting Initiative, is listed here, kind of depicted graphically, showing how you go from a business problem, a use case, being able to identify the data that's needed for that, developing the specifications for it, and ultimately being able to validate the information coming in. Say if you're talking about hepatitis, to be able to, or HAIs, but to be able to identify what data would be required, what specifications needs to be developed, and what, how will it actually be implemented and certified and tested. So I won't go into that any further. So the Public Health Reporting Initiative came out of another larger laboratory initiative at ONC. And this is, again, the one that I said is a little hard to get public health engaged here because of the depth of expertise. Typically, people feel like they need or just don't have the time to involve because there's a lot of activities around this. And so I think I'm approaching the end of my time, but again, as I mentioned, there are five domains that are being addressed with this public health reporting initiative around communicable diseases, chronic diseases, and newborn and childhood examples like immunization and adverse event reporting, like with HAIs. And so what I've listed here then are a set of resources that you can use as a reference to learn more about FIN, meaningful use, some of the ONC work, and the CMS Meaningful Use Program. So I know that was kind of a lot to put out there, but I am available for questions, and we have a pretty good amount of time, I believe, for Q&A.